And we can kind of link the TJ extension and the Miles extension together, given when they happened. I just think it's interesting. Like, you know me, I have been way more complimentary of what I think the Steelers are going to be this year and their approach going all in on this season than I really want to be.
Way more than me.
I think the biggest risk is the TJ Watt contract extension. He's going to be 31 in, I want to say, 2 months.
Yeah.
And I know he had, I think, 11 and a half sacks last year. He's still putting up good numbers. Second half of the season was rough. And again, he's 31. I wasn't all that comfortable paying Miles all this kind of money at 29, which is part of the reason I was okay if they had traded him. 31? And they are much different profiles. TJ is an edge rusher. He doesn't play with his hand in the dirt, meaning he does a lot more coverage than Miles does. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's going to get 35. Just seems like an impossible deal for them. I just hate how much money they're throwing on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, if I was building a team, my top six contracts would not be all defensive. It just wouldn't be that side of the ball.
And they wouldn't be that age, because they got a lot of age on the defense, too.
It just doesn't make sense to me. And it'd be different if they every single year did have the number one scoring defense. They don't every single year.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't. As far as yards are concerned, they haven't cracked the top 10 in the previous 4 years. Their scoring defense was better last year, but ultimately, like, I don't get the philosophy of it all, and I don't get what Tomlin is truly trying to do. I really don't. Unless he's just trying to keep up with the idea that when everyone else is going offense, he goes defense, and that'll be enough to surprise a couple teams.
Yeah, and I
okay.
Or it might be the thing to kind of link it to the Guardians of, like, he's got no faith in their ability to. I shouldn't say no faith. They've just drafted well on defense. They haven't drafted well enough on offense. So you're just going to keep the guys who are good on one side of the ball because of that.
Well, or just thinks to himself, we don't have a quarterback, and so this is how I'll win without a quarterback.
That might make sense.
But he's continued to do it now for half of a decade.
So it's weird. Like, there is the reaction that I had yesterday mocking TJ and his kind of theatrics. And I mean, even in some of this contract stuff. He's got this reputation of being just a football guy and a tough ass, and then he kind of seems a little sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the actual contract, I think if I'm what was most wild in the pivot that Steelers fans made in their reaction to this is not nearly enough when we're paying, because it's not just these 3 years, it's this year as well. So it's really a 4 year contract. And the real part of the money doesn't start until 2 years from now. That's, for a 31-year-old edge rusher, that's a huge risk from the Steelers. And I said this earlier. Listen, he can end up doing this, and, you know, he's in great shape or whatever. He ends up fulfilling the whole contract, and it's not a big deal. I can also see a scenario in which, because the Steelers' ownership doesn't move money around, this contract specifically and the age of the other guys around him, you end up not having a choice but to rebuild in a year or two's time.
Well, I guess we got our answer to... So remember, maybe a couple weeks ago or so, Florio just kept talking about how people around the Steelers, they were making fun of the Browns. They were laughing at the Browns with the idea that how the Deshaun Watson contract was perceived as a one-off, and no one could take it seriously with quarterback contracts moving forward because it was just such a unique situation. They had believed that the Steelers looked at the Myles Garrett contract that exact same way, that it was just the Browns being the Browns. The Browns were idiots. They overpaid Myles Garrett, and you can't look at that, and they should have looked at Max Crosby instead as the starting point for T.J. Watt. So it's almost like a congratulations to T.J. Watt for squeezing every possible dime he possibly could in getting the Steelers to bypass what their original thinking was.
And I will say, that is the beauty of this. I don't know that the Miles contract is going to have all that kind of impact on this season, because I think they're swimming upstream to a bit. But if it does put the Steelers in a bind long term because of T.J. Watt, then it's a win-win if you're the Cleveland Browns. You kept Miles Garrett, and they paid him more money than he wanted to.
I also just look at Miles and T.J. as two different players, especially as they get older and older. There's a little chance that, you know, Miles loses a step or two or something like that. And then, I don't know, maybe he goes from being double-teamed every play to then just being single-teamed and the production stays the same. Or Miles does what a lot of good pass rushers do as they get older and older and start to move across the offensive line and do different things. J.J. Watt specifically did this as well. He started moving all over the place, but then as he got older and older, he's like, all right, I guess I'll go up against the right tackle more because I got a better chance there. T.J. Watt only goes up against the right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like, let's move around the line. Let's find the easy spot. Let's do this. He starts at the easiest entry point imaginable and stays there. Like, I don't know that at 33, 34, you can possibly get more. He doesn't get double teamed. He goes against the right tackle. Like, he's exhausted a lot of what he already can do.
Unless you go the Clay Matthews route where you kick inside, but I don't think that's ever been TJ's forte is coverage. Yes.
He, legitimately, look at his like his.
Oh, I meant as an inside linebacker instead of an edge rusher, but still, I don't think he has the speed for that.
That's not him. Like, look at his career and how he's done it. Now, maybe there'll be an evolution that we just don't see right now. I don't see it, though. Like, he winds up over the right tackle and just goes after it. And, like, there's not much else you can really advance from that as you get older and older and lose steps. I mean, did you watch that play last year? The one that's going very viral right now of him against DeJuan Jones.
Yeah.
And DeJuan Jones just eats his lunch.
Yep.
He just pushes him right in the ground.
And that wasn't the good DeJuan, by the way.
No.
Like a year before when DeJuan was fresh into the NFL, I think it was game 4 for him, and I think it was game 5 or 6 of the season, when DeJuan had Nick Bosa went to hand fight him, and he literally took his hands and put him by his side.
Mm-hmm.
That's a year that I quote a lot about DeJuan. DeJuan was at points unplayable last year because he just wasn't healthy and he couldn't move because he was a little overweight. I don't want to say unplayable. He was bad. And still he whooped TJ's ass. Although, again, in deference to TJ, he gives away 120 pounds and about 6 inches to DeJuan. So
he has a size advantage. No one's debating that.
Not going to be a fight that anybody really wins, but certainly TJ Watt.
But like, show me the video where Myles Garrett just gets taken that. It just doesn't happen. And if it starts to happen for Myles, there's places that the Browns can move him, and there's things that and the league will stop double teaming him and stop treating him the way that they do, and it'll be all right. Whereas TJ. I mean, he's starting at the easiest entry point you can for someone trying to get to the quarterback.
And specific to what you just said, here's another way. Myles can lose a step and still be one of the strongest son of a guns in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there are they're not like 15 sack a year guys, but there are guys who are power guys in today's day NFL, even in the fastest NFL we've seen, that with power over speed are still getting to 10 sacks a year. So even if Myles does take that loss, it's not like Von Miller. Like, Von was a speed guy with some power, and the second he lost that extra step, he just kind of became a dude to some degree. That's not going to happen with Myles. Myles is still going to be 6'5", 290 pounds. Now, it's interesting. Like, the regret that the Steelers could have on paying TJ Watt, I don't think is the regret the Browns are going to have with Myles. Like, one part of regret is just it's injury and it happens, but TJ's a little older and is a different player, as you've illustrated. I think the regret on whether it's paying Myles or not trading Myles could be different, because I think TJ's now going to be happy to finish his career in Pittsburgh. I still think there's a year from now, 2 years from now, where there's just not enough team success and Myles goes back to the well on what he did back in January.
No, that's a good point. Like, TJ Watt is it. He's ending his career in Pittsburgh. That is everything and then some to him, and congratulations on that. Whereas Myles, we're just going to have to constantly wonder at what point is he going to get angry and try to threaten his way out.
So on one hand, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm probably more content in the idea of this ends the squabbling. Now TJ can just finish his career here. And now it just becomes, can you beat Father Time? And I think that's easier to worry about. If you're the Browns fans, he's 2 years younger, but he's got a lot of wear and tear on him. He has had a lot of injuries. He's got the feet injury that they reared its head this year. And then I think you have, how content is Myles going to be? And so, like, definitively, if we said right now one team's going to regret their extension and not making a trade, because if I was the Steelers, I would have traded TJ Watt. You've got Herbig, you've got Highsmith. There's a third linebacker.
There was a lot of suitors, by the way. I mean, think about it. The Lions were getting ready to offer up multiple first round picks. Like, there was a lot of people.
And with TJ Watt, we're not going to tank. All right, well, use those extra assets in a year to then try and bring it over and finally get that quarterback, right?
That would have been the idea. Yeah. Especially if they draft 17th or 18th like they've been doing, now you've got the draft capital to move up.
But like with the Browns, I understand. Listen, I don't know what you would have got for Myles. I would have held out for a king's ransom, and I do think inevitably it would have been there. I think if there was an offer, a bleep you offer, a I can't say no offer, it might only have been one or two teams, but I think you were going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the just moving on from the trade request and how he handled that. It's going to be really interesting to see how Miles how all of this ages going into a year where it's really tough to see any sort of success beyond 6 or 7 wins.
So that's what makes it a hard conversation. Like if it felt like the Browns were going to be an awesome team in 2 or 3 years, it's a different story. And maybe that's what the Browns front office has to bank on, is that if you don't get your quarterback this year, next year you get your quarterback, and then you look at a team like Denver, for instance, that just flipped it around so fast. Maybe that's what they're banking on, but it's so few and far between that happens.
And I think, and this is maybe the kind of asterisk on this, and not asterisk, the exclamation point on this, I think when it comes to TJ, if this year you hit, you capture lightning in a bottle with Aaron Rodgers and you're in the AFC title game, this decision, at least in the very, very, but now and then maybe the next year or two, ages really, really well. So there's a path of, hey, we paid that off and it's great. Whereas with the Browns, because of that, even if Miles has an okay year this year and you go 3-14, you're going to be looking at this and go, did we miss our window? I think it's much more likely in a year's time. I think 4 years from now, the Miles extension will age better than the TJ Watt one. I think in a year's time, we could be saying really good business out of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and man, maybe the Browns should have done what every analyst, Seth Walders of the world said they should have done, which is trade Myles Garrett.
Yeah, but then again, also, if Aaron Rodgers, it just stinks in Pittsburgh and it doesn't work out well, then there's going to be Steelers fans that go back to the same talking tropes that would have existed for the previous 2 months. Fire Mike Tomlin. Why didn't we trade T.J. Watt?
I see why their analysis of me is so reductive. Their analysis of their own team is incredibly reductive.
They hate their team more than you and I do right now.
Oh, would you
That's
say...
That's the interesting part about this.
Would you say there's a through line between Steelers fans and Guardians fans?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, for sure. Yes, the Guardians fans right now that are so livid about their team and can't stand anything they do is the same thing staring Pittsburgh fans right in the mirror.
I can't imagine hating my team. Like, I've been mad at the Cavs.
They hate them right now.
I've been mad at the Cavs. For topping out in the second round of the way it's gone. But like a week later, I'm like, all right, how are we doing this, right? I don't think I could last 6 months being rageful about that. Steelers fans have been this angry for a decade?
Yeah.
They haven't won a
playoff game in 8 years.
And
start the clock there.
Same thing with the Guardians.
Entire like, TJ Watt career.
You can tell how I am as a parent when it's like, all right, I'm disappointed in you, but come over here and give me a big hug. That's kind of how I fan too. An update on Stephen Kwan, none of us really wanted. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.